Now, to us, the commandment, do not murder, is a fairly basic one. I feel that it's almost universally accepted that murdering people is a bad idea. But I want us just to take us back to Sinai, which is why I brought out the beloved prop. Just a reminder that these are people who have been enslaved for 400 years, who have got no earthly value, have been treated slightly worse than animals for the past 400 years as a group of people. And they come before God at Sinai, and God says, thou shalt not murder. Now to us, we kind of think, well, obviously you shouldn't murder. I mean, that's pretty much a given, isn't it? But can you imagine hearing that from a slave? Can you imagine that from the perspective of someone whose life has been less than worthless for the past 400 years? The kind of person who I'm sure has seen their family members and their friends treated so poorly. And God says, no, don't murder. When God says don't murder, it's less of a, that is a bad thing, you shouldn't do that. Though we agree it is. That's more of God saying, do you know what? Human life actually has some value. That's what this commandment's about. It's God saying, you know what? Human life matters. You can't just take it away from people. You can't just snuff it out that human life is important. You shouldn't murder, that you, as an individual, as a human, as someone created by God, your life has meaning and value and importance. People can't just take it away on a whim. And I think God wants us to know that as well. I think that's why it's a good commandment for us to look at this morning, because God looks at us and he says that your life matters, that it's important, that you've got value, regardless of how you've been treated or how you feel about yourself, that your life has some value. But we've had a few thousand years since then, and now I think we can all agree now that we understand human life. I mean, if I just said, right guys, do not murder this week, let us go and love and serve the Lord, don't forget, no murdering this week, I don't know how much of a compelling service that would be, in terms of, because we've had a few thousand years, like, we know that our lives are important, we know that we're not just allowed to take them off. For these people, that's why God gave us a commandment, that was a big deal, because they've had 400 years of slavery. But for us, I mean, yeah, we know people aren't just allowed to kill us. That's not really allowed. I've been thinking about the commandments, as you'd expect, because we are doing a series on it, so you'll be pleased to know that I do my homework. But so I've been thinking about the last few weeks. And I've put the ones we've looked at so far, I think some of them fall into two distinct categories. All right? So the first one, which is no gods before me, that top one up there, no gods before me, that one. And have no idols, and the Sabbath, I would describe them as when we, as humans and as individuals, we take something and we put it in the place of God. Like idols. Remember when we did idols? And we said it's not just about building shrines and worshipping. It's about anything you take and you make it more important than God. Might be sport, might be TV, might be church. Anything that we take and we make it more important than God himself, we put it in the wrong place. The Sabbath. I said last week that work is good. Not last week, 2 weeks ago. That work is good, but it is not God. There are times where you meet workaholics and they literally cannot stop working all the time. They've got a laptop open. They've got their like weird Bluetooth headsets so they can talk in the car. They can do more. They're always paging. Do people page anymore? I don't know. Been watching Scrubs, clearly. You know, like, paid texting. People who just, they worship their work. It's like they go to a temple rather than go to the office. They can't wait to get to work and be more productive because it makes them feel good. Work is good. God calls us to work. God calls us to be productive, but it's not God, is it? I mean, I told you, didn't I, that a third of Americans don't take a single day of holiday in a year. I mean, that's crazy. Work is good, but work is not God. Those commandments are about taking things that are not God, idols, other gods, TV, work, putting them in the place of God. But this one's not that. Murder is putting yourself in the place of God. Not putting something else in his place. It's deciding that you get to choose. It's putting yourself in that place. It's sitting yourself on the throne. If we could have another couple of pictures, that would be helpful. Thank you, Cynthia, as we think about this. Oh, the Bible says, leave vengeance to me. God says, it is mine to repay. Have we ever like had discussions about things like capital punishment? I don't know, those kind of moral issues. And you ever heard the phrase, don't play God? Do we know this? It's because deep down we know when we're talking about don't murder, there's an element of it which is we put ourselves in the place of God. We decide who's in and who's out. We decide who lives and who dies. Which has got me thinking about other times in the Bible that people put themselves in the place of God. There's a good story in Genesis, and it's the tale of two trees. Now, we probably know it. It's in Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, we hear the story of two trees. And God says to Adam and Eve, this one is the tree of life. And if you eat it, you will live forever. It's the tree of life. And in another bit of the garden, there is the... Right, apologies for you. Very good, well done. That's also very good over there. Tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's really interesting when you read the story about what these trees represent. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is the one that Adam and Eve attempted to eat, and this is the one the snake says, if you eat of this tree you will become like... Very good, Judy, you can have that one. Was there one at the back? I don't know. Amy, can you catch? And God says, if you eat of this tree, you're going to become like God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So at the start of the Bible, we have this story of people trying to be like God. And how do they try and be like God? It's not even that they kill people. It's that they seek to know who is good and who is evil. When we try and be like God is when we put ourselves in God's position and we decide who is in and who is out. Who is good and who is evil. Guys, I think the story of the trees is a simple one for all of us to apply. Are you eating from the tree of life or are you eating from the tree of judgment? Are you eating from a place where you want to put other people down? I mean, the internet is full of all kinds of weird and wonderful things. But it's also full of a lot of Christians trying to decide who is in and who is out. And if you've ever done some Googling about literally any famous person, I bet a Christian has called them the Antichrist. Like, guaranteed. Any famous politician. And you're like, come on. Really? Like, Tony Blair's been and gone. Like, are we still peddling that? But you read this stuff. And it's people who desperately want to be God. And you feel like telling them, guys, you just are not. You are not qualified for that office. You can read as they write this kind of judgmental hatred stuff. Like, they really want to decide who's in and who's out, don't they? They really want to be the person who's like, you are good and you are evil. And let me tell you, that is way above your pay grade. It's a very relieving truth to hear that there is one God. And you are not it. Which brings us on to Jesus. Because when the story that we've read just now, it's quite harsh language Jesus uses. Jesus said, you've heard it was said, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, which means you fool, is answerable to the court and will be in danger of the fire of hell. Whew, flipping it, Jesus is a bit harsh, isn't it? Like, we could get on board with the murder thing, like, fair enough. Capital punishment for murderers, people are all going to jump on that bandwagon. Like, we understand that murder's bad, but come on, Jesus. Like, getting angry at people, calling people a fool, you're saying that that's just as bad? I tell you what, it might not be just as bad in our society, but it's the same tree that you're eating from, isn't it? It's the same root cause. Like, fair enough, you might have the self-awareness and self-control not to physically murder someone. But that's not to say you're not still eating from that tree. That's not to say you're not still feasting yourselves on getting angry and judgmental and getting vicious in your mind, and you're hating people and you want to tear them down. Are you eating from that tree that decides who is in and who is out? Are you eating from that tree who gets to live and who gets to die? Yes, you might not have actually killed them, but you may have tried to kill them with your words. Killed with looks. Killed with gossip. Killed with pulling them down. Killed with a glance. Killed by the stuff you said when they walked out of the room. Jesus says it's all the same, guys. It's all the same. It's the same tree you're eating from. Stop eating from that tree. Stop eating from the tree of judgment. Stop pretending that you are God. Casting judgment. Deciding who is in and who is out. Who is good and who is evil. That's the wrong tree. Let God deal with that. It is mine to repay, says the Lord. Jesus says, if you call anyone raka, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Now, raka, it kind of means idiot or fool. It was probably a swear word, so I don't know if we're okay with Jesus swearing. Well, whatever is in the Bible, so take it up with him. That kind of word, raka, is the noise you make as you clear your throat, isn't it? Like raka. I don't know Hebrew, I can't say it properly, but that's it. They're like raka. But Jesus, who are the people that you think are not worth spitting on? Would be what the people would have heard there. That's the context. Those people, raka, you fool, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Jesus says, who are the people that you spit on are not worth your time? Who are the people that are not worth speaking to, but instead are worth spitting at? That's what people would have heard. Who are the people that we don't talk at, we talk down to? Who are the people that we don't have conversations with, we're just waiting for an opportunity to spit on them, maybe not physically, but with our words or with our thoughts or with the gossip? That's what Jesus is saying. And then Jesus said, if you do that, you'll be in the danger of the fires of hell. Okay, pretty heavy stuff there, isn't it, Jesus? In this context, Jesus is talking about a rubbish dump. Many of you will know this. The way he says hell here means Gehenna, which was a rubbish dump just outside of the city of Jerusalem. Because quite frankly, guys, if you spend your life eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you spend your life treating people like idiots, if you spend your life tearing people down, if you spend your life trying to decide who is good and who is bad, who is in and who is out, your life will be rubbish. When I went to Uganda, I went there quite a lot. I had some friends who lived in a place called Masaka, and it was beautiful. In fact, I've got a photo to show you of the beauty of Masaka. There it is. Look at it. It is stunning. And what we used to do occasionally is we used to go up on these, up on the side of the town. You could look out over all the town. It was beautiful, the like red soil and the trees, lush. I'm pretty sure I took that photo from the rubbish dump, because for some ridiculous reason, the people who were in charge of massacres, like principality, like town council, whoever it was, thought that the best place to put a rubbish dump was like in the most picturesque spot in the whole of the city. So we used to go up to the rubbish dump in order to see the views. But it was a bit odd, because you thought this place should be beautiful. You should have tourists from miles around all coming here. I mean, that was just one picture. There was great views all around. Like, you should have tourists from miles around coming, but you stuck a rubbish dump here. I mean, it was horrible. It stunk. It was smelly, no one wanted to go there, and there were fires. There was always fire, because they're always trying to burn the stuff, aren't they? So like, you hear the phrase where the fires never go out, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, that was Massacre Rubbish Dump. That was Gehenna. That was the rubbish dump outside the city of Jerusalem. That was hell. Jesus says, if you live your life like this, if you eat from that tree, if you spend your life in a place of judgment, if you kill people with your words and your looks and your actions, your life is going to look like a rubbish dump. It's going to stink. No one's going to want to go there. It's going to be an unpleasant place to be. A place that should be so beautiful, with such good views and so attractive. You're just going to ruin it with all that rubbish. But the good thing is that Jesus says, doesn't have to be like that. You can eat from another tree. There's another tree in the garden that you can eat from. You can either eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you can eat from the tree of life. Jesus says, if there is a problem between you and someone else, you can choose to sort it out. Don't just sit there waiting for them to apologise. Take the initiative. Jesus says, if you've got something between you and another believer, go the extra mile to make peace with them. In another place, he says, if they demand your coat, then give them your shirt as well. Go the extra mile to find peace with people. There's another tree we can eat from. As Christians, instead of eating from that one, we can eat from the tree of life. And it'll be a beautiful place to live. You won't tie yourself out trying to be God. That's way beyond your pay grade. But you can learn to find peace. You can learn to be kind. Instead of bringing death and pain and destruction with your words. Jesus says you can bring life and love and light and increase. God says at Sinai, do not murder. Jesus says on the Mount, don't do any of the stuff that would murder people's souls. Don't bring them down. Don't tear them down with your words. Don't look at them to make them feel tiny. Instead, eat from a better tree. Eat from the tree of life. Eat from a place that people are going to want to hang around with you because you speak well of them, that you speak life into them, you speak increase into them. As Christians, we sometimes get a terrible reputation from eating from the wrong tree. But this morning, I would challenge you, this week, what tree are you eating from? Stop eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's beyond your pay grade. Eat from the tree of life. Because if you don't, your life just looks rubbish. Let's pray, shall we? God, we thank you that you speak good words over our life. That you say we are loved. You say we are accepted. You say we are forgiven. You say we have a future. You say we have a hope. God, I ask that we would say those same words over the people around us. Forgive us for the times that we have eaten from the wrong tree. We have tried to pull people down with what we've said or what we've thought or the way we've looked at them or what we've said when they've walked out of the room. God, we are sorry for the times that we have said to people, "Raka," treated them like they were worth spitting on, not talking to. We're sorry for those times, God. Help us eat from a better tree so we may fill ourselves up with life and light and goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.